So we're all familiar with Joseph and his amazing Technicolor dream coat, but let's discover how Joseph can speak to us today. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And his message on Joseph's story starts in just a moment here. As a matter of fact, we'll go to Genesis chapter 50 in just a moment. And as Dr. Don opens the Bible, opens God's Word with us, he wants you to know that we are open to encourage you. We'd love to do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or on the telephone as well. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And I want to challenge you to consider us to be one of your 2 a.m. friends. Call us to pray with you anytime, day or night. We are here to encourage you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want to say to you today, I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis. We're going to be in the book of Genesis. And you need to go all the way near the end of the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Chapter 50 of the book of Genesis. I want to say to you today that God loves you. He loves you so much. And he sees you. He sees you. Because he made you. He knows you. He knows about all of us. And I'm putting a human word onto God. And if you'll beg my pardon, I don't mean to put a human understanding on God. But God desperately, earnestly wants you to get it today, that you're not on your own. You're not on your own, and what you've gone through in life is very real. Don't kid yourself, folks. When a person is abused as a young person, it stays with them. Sometimes it would seem an entire lifetime. Scars are very real things. You know that all of us are the product of yesterday. Yesterday produces today. And it might have been something in your family years ago. I have so many practical illustrations. Some of my best friends fell in love with someone and got married, and the person they fell in love with and got married to violated everything about their love. And left behind a root of bitterness and anger. And I've got friends, people that you and I know that, you know, it was 25 years ago, they went through the worst kind of divorce you can imagine, most pain, and they still deal with that. It's like it doesn't want to go away. And people who have suffered at the hands of bullies. Bullying is a very real thing. But I'm telling you, children can be very unkind to other children. Very vicious. Those playgrounds out there in the schools, some of our boys and girls get subject to amazing levels of abuse, and many of them don't say anything. They don't know where to go. Well, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 50. The story of Joseph is a very real story. Most of us know about Joseph and how God, you know, raised him up and used him so mightily. I want us to look just below the surface today. Because Joseph's story is my story. It's your story. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 50, I want to read to you just a few verses at the end of, near toward the end of Joseph's life. Verse 18, listen to what the Bible says. Joseph's brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear," watch this, "for I know that I am in the place of God. I'm where God wants me to be. As for you, brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, for I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus Joseph comforted his brothers and spoke kindly to them. Hello! Do you know what these brothers did to Joseph? Only God could have done this. Joseph's life, all the years prior to this, was a, I don't know what to call it. You and I look at Joseph and we say to ourselves, you know, he became prince of Egypt and he was so powerful and he delivered his family and an entire nation. But do you know what it took to get to that point? Just think about this. His life was one of family treachery. If you go back, I'm not going to read all, but go back to chapter 37, verse 18. I mean, I've gone through all of these. The Bible tells us, back in chapter 37 and verse 18, that Joseph's brothers, this was not this other person at the shopping mall. This wasn't a matter of road rage. These men were his actual brothers. They saw him from afar, and even before he came near to them, they conspired together to kill him. Family treachery. Someone today, you are so out of fellowship with your family, and you've got good reason. You've been dealt treacherously by a brother, by a sister, and may I say it? By your dad, your mother. This runs deep. Some of you haven't spoken to a brother in years. Some of you have got embroiled in such fights over whatever was left by your parents. Some of you, your sister was the closest person to you until she married that man. And that man hates your parents. And that man hates your family and won't have anything to do and told you, "Are you kidding me? I will never go on vacation with your family." Family treachery. I present to you Joseph. His life was one of awful aloneness. Let me tell you, there's a difference between loneliness and aloneness. Loneliness is just an awful malady whereby an individual person just feels lonely. Aloneness is a designated status in life where there is no one else around you that you know and love. You're on an island. Well, what does the Bible say in chapter 37? And in verse 36, "Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar." Listen, he was not only betrayed, put into this pit, given up for dead, but Joseph was sentenced to awful aloneness. He went to another world, hardly could understand them, their customs, their language. He had no family, none. None whatsoever. And he was just alone. Often think about widows and widowers, people who have spent a life being surrounded by family and Christmas functions and gatherings, and all of a sudden that precious person, the Lord takes them home, and that sense of aloneness creeps in. Joseph's life was one of malicious slavery. Malicious slavery. In verse 36 of same verse I've just read, he was sold as a slave to Egypt.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message on Joseph with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. Please don't go away. But I want to remind you about the opportunity to not only hear Dr. Don's words and, more importantly, hear God's word through Dr. Don, but also to be a part of our daily Encouraging Word Bible study. Every morning about 6 o'clock, we email a message from Dr. Don about a key point of Scripture and a key application to our life, something that helps us continually apply God's encouraging word every single day. Of course, it's absolutely free. You can sign up for the email online right now at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or call for a hard copy. If you like a little booklet we put together every quarter, you can ask for it by calling 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Ask for your free copy of the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. We'd love to put it in your hands. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
We all know, even in America today, slavery is probably one of the single most abhorrent, greatest things that we have to bear as a nation, and so do many other nations. The issue of slavery is abhorrent. And do you know that it's still an issue? We just sometimes just choose to turn a blind eye, and the after effect of slavery of one race or one people against another, it's just abhorrent. Do you know, back in previous centuries, they would make trips over to places in Africa, and they would just capture people, put them in chains, put them on boats, and just stack them up like animals. Joseph was, his whole life, before we get to the good stuff, let's just be real about this. One of the greatest things that you and I can do in our lives is just be real, just put the facts out there. You know, that's what God expects of us with our sin. You want to come to know Jesus, you must admit your sin. You've got to confess it. If you want to be whole as a believer, as a person who loves the Lord, don't be afraid of calling a spade, because it's very real and that pain is very real. His life was one of false accusation. You know, when you get into chapter 39 and you start reading this awful story about Potiphar's wife, And all the false accusations that came out of this, it was malicious. You know, in verse 17 and 18, the Bible says that Potiphar's wife told him the same story, saying that the Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. Her word, she was the powerful person. She was Potiphar's wife. Was her word against his. He didn't have a leg to stand on. It was just so totally false. False accusation. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment behind me and he fled the house. Everything Potiphar's wife said was not true. It was concocted. It was malicious. It was designed to kill, to destroy. Do you know how many people's lives are destroyed because somebody has started a false, malicious gossip, have planted a seed of evil? Do you know that there are people in our community whose sole job in the world is to say something that's not true to destroy your life? It happens all the time. And his whole life, his life was one of unjust imprisonment. You know, when you get into chapter 39, I've got so many passages here that I really want to show you. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. Joseph's master took him based on these false. So now if you talk about heaping coals on someone, here's Joseph. You know, he's born into this wonderful family and his father loves him greatly and he's got all these brothers and they plot against him and jealousy arises. They throw him in the pit, they all the stuff with his coat of many colors. He gets sold into slavery. He gets sent to a foreign land. Then he gets to the foreign land and he gets a decent job. Whatever he was doing, serving hamburgers at McDonald's, it didn't matter. He was trying to make the best of something, and here comes Potiphar's wife and then makes all these false accusations against him. He doesn't have a leg to stand on and he gets thrown into prison. That's a nice how do you do. And by the way, he wasn't in there for just one or two days either. And by the way, I wonder what those prisons back then were like. Historians tell us they were pits in the ground. They were filled with the worst kind of things you and I can imagine. They didn't have running water and latrines. They weren't served three meals a day on a platter. They didn't go to the prison courtyard and have a buffet prepared in the prison kitchen. So if you just were to contextualize, the fact that this man was unjustly imprisoned, I mean, this is just compounding and compounding and compounding. It just kind of comes on. But God had a plan for Joseph. And in this plan, God did a number of things. First of all, his plan, he rescued Joseph. God did this. You know, when you start getting into chapter 41, it's just the most incredible story of God setting about this plan. First of all, to rescue him. The Bible says in verse 14, because Pharaoh had this dream in chapter 41, that Pharaoh, on reference, ended up calling, he sent and he called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the, by the way, where did I get that thing about the pit? Well, because it says so. This was not the county jail. They brought him up out of the pit. In those days, they would go to this hole in the ground that had this cave that was dark. You couldn't see anything. People went in there, didn't come out of there for 2 years. Can you imagine what it was like in there? And they would let a rope or something down and they pulled him out of the pit, which explains to you why the Bible says when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes. Hello, you ever wondered why he shaved himself and changed his clothes? Because he was going into perfumed Pharaoh. But right there at the outset, God had a plan to rescue him. That's what the Lord Jesus does for us. That's why I want you to give your life to Christ. Because in Christ Jesus, God's plan for your and my rescue takes place. He rescued him. Then he restored him. When you get on, as you begin to develop this passage, Joseph, of course, explains and interprets this dream. And I love verse 37. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. I love that, the big dummy. God was involved in this. God was involved in this. God was at work. Do you know that God loves us so much, he can even cause pagans to become pleased with us? God can take hold of an antagonist and turn him on a dime. So he rescued him, he restored him, he reconciled him. That little word reconciliation is just so beautiful, isn't it? You want to be reconciled to your brother, don't you? You want to be reconciled to your father. You want to be reconciled concerning your circumstances. And above all, the greatest reconciliation is that we are reconciled to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. God reconciled him, first of all, to Pharaoh. the pagan king who was pleased with him, and then he reconciled him to his own family. I love that. I mean, don't you? I love the story of Joseph and his brothers. One day, I'm telling you, you can mark this down, watch me. When I get to heaven one day, I'm going up to those dudes, man. I'm saying, boys, come here. I got to have a little chat with you, all of you. Tell me what it was like when all of a sudden you realized who you were dealing with, this fellow that was rescuing you, and you suddenly came to realize he was your brother. It's one of my favorite things to watch, you know. I love seeing, stories and plays and movies depicting that scene, because it speaks so well to this reconciliation. God was doing something here, and he rescued him, and he restored him, and he reconciled him, not only to Pharaoh, took care of this level here, but he reconciled him to his own family, and through that, he released him. He released him. I didn't read this to you, but everybody turn to chapter 45. You've got to see this, just in case you've ever missed this. This is the part that I love. Chapter 45 and verse 1. I just want to show you maybe verse 1 and 2. Now, I want you to just get this. This is unbelievable. This is a man who's gone through family treachery, awful aloneness, malicious slavery, false accusations, unjust punishment. He's run the whole gamut. And God releases him. Watch this. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him. He cried, he wept. Make everyone go out for me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive? And so the story goes on. Folks, he just released him. You ever said to someone, you need to have a good cry? I have this picture in my mind of Joseph with all of this background and all the pain and the hurt and the journey of his life. And God just took it and just washed it out of him. It's the most amazing thing that you've ever seen. And God's doing it all the time. I'm going to ask you today, come to the altar. Maybe because that's what God is calling you to do. We're going to be open for you to come and to pray and to do business with God. And maybe you need to come because of your daughter, to pray for her, for your son, for your family. God answers prayer. God will use you. And I'm going to challenge you today. Step out. This altar, the altar of the Lord, in Genesis, the sanctuary, this altar, it's God's altar. The altar of God is there for you and for me.
Oh, what a powerful message. And knowing that altar is there for you and for me changes the perspective we have of how we can approach God. I pray that you know that God is approaching you, that he's using even this broadcast. Maybe there's a series of broadcasts you've been listening to in these radio outlets or this podcast. However you might have been connecting with God's word today, God is doing this because he loves you and he's reaching out to you. Are you ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
The Lord has spoken to you today. It's time for a new beginning, a fresh start. You've given your life to Jesus Christ or rededicated your life. we want you to know we stand ready to walk with you in the next steps. There's wonderful opportunities we have. Matter of fact, a unique series of resources that's absolutely free that Dr. Don wants you to have if you've just given your heart to Christ or just rededicated your life that will help you take the next steps forward. We're here also to pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And just right now, Mackenzie, I know that's just one of our college students that right now every single day prays for the ministry of the Encouraging Word and helps us take the calls at that 866-899-WORD number. And I know that her prayer is that for some of us that are followers of Christ and we've been involved in living for Jesus, and it's not about calling to give your heart to Christ, but you have been experiencing some bumps in the road, some things that all of a sudden are making you may even question God. Well, how do you get through those bumps in the road? We have a wonderful resource that I know Mackenzie has read and has given away a couple of copies to other friends, especially in this time of separation. She hasn't seen her college friends as much. But this is a book for all of us. It's called The Bumps Are What You Climb On.
Have you been praying on how you can serve God? We all have unsaved friends, loved ones, and people we don't even know all around us that need to hear the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment today. Help spread the gospel in 2020. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an encourager brochure today. We would love to have you partner with us. We cannot carry out our mission to reach others without you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. We are delivering the gospel with you and for you to others. Thank you for listening today.
I hope you'll consider getting a copy of that great book, The Bumps Are What You Climb On, but there are many other resources, including the free daily Bible guide that we are excited to send out every single day. There's an email that heads out about 6 o'clock, and matter of fact, this morning, Dr. Don's verse was Proverbs 11:3, "The integrity of the upright will guide them." I never thought about it, but he talked about how we set our values almost like the guardrails on a highway so that we understand, all right, God has given us some things that we know that are absolute, and we are going to try to live in those rails. That's just one of the opportunities to see how God is using the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide to give us application to Scripture. And so if you're interested in that kind of biblical application, call right now and ask for us to send you a copy of the Bible Guide from the Encouraging Word. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd like me, I used to use the hard copy, but I prefer the email. It comes out every morning. You can sign up online at tewonline.org, and we'll send you that same verse. Matter of fact, some of you read it this morning with me, Proverbs 11:3, when you got your email. And it will help us as we put more God's Word in our heart, in our minds, in our memories, and as we apply it to the way we live our life, it'll change the way we live our life. Until next time, take care and God bless.